Hello and welcome to the Student Life Podcast. My name is Kyrie Begnum, and with me as always is my friend, co-host and colleague, Mr. Anthony Giannoumis. Anthony, it's been some time since last episode.
It has. We have been a little bit off.
We haven't been off, man. It's called busy.
Yes. Life has been very exciting.
It has. Well, you've been away. I've been working.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've been working.
I've been away. Working too.
But we finally managed to get back here into my office / our studio.
Yes.
And record a new episode. And we're staying true to our theme. We actually have a guest.
Yes, we have an amazing guest.
We do. Actually, I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
I have
so many questions.
Oh, I know. Since we scheduled her early in the semester, I've had this date red-lettered on my calendar, and I've just been looking forward to it.
So without much further ado, why don't you introduce our guest?
Sure. Our guest is Evan, and I'm going to butcher your last name. I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but it's something along the lines of Güler. Okay, Evan Güler. Who is the lead engineer at HiOA, at the Oslo and Akershus University College of Applied Sciences Makerspace. Mm-hmm. And Makerspace is just this new and crazy, wonderful animal that universities and schools all over the world are trying to adopt and create as an innovation in the role of education. Mm-hmm. How would you describe it, Evan?
It's a playground.
It's a playground.
Yes.
I love that.
It's to experiment and have fun with technology and meet people and, you know, learn stuff you don't actually learn in school. Like,
sure.
Stuff that you're interested in and, just methods from other disciplines. It can be anything. It depends on your own preference.
Yeah. Now, I cut my teeth on this sort of thing when I was in high school. I basically went to a high school that was a makerspace, and we used to make distortion pedals for guitars and circuit boards for this, that, and the other
mm-hmm.
thing. And then when I went out in my first job, that's what I did in my first job. I worked on a line in an assembly plant, and I got to solder every day, which was fantastic.
Yeah, you were lucky then. I don't think a lot of students have that opportunity.
I was lucky, but, you know, the lead-based solder is not the best thing to be inhaling on a regular basis, so lucky in some
ways.
Well,
it's better now.
Yes, that's true.
But, Evan, you said that it's a playground, and in many ways it is, but it's a very grown-up playground, isn't it? Because
it
you
is.
Guys have, I have small kids, and I've been to a lot of playgrounds, and they don't look anywhere near the makerspace, because there's a lot of breakable stuff in there.
Yes, and that's the point. It should break. I mean, it's
right.
3D printers for 25,000 kroners, which students should play with. I mean, it's supposed to be broken and fixed. So,
that's a brilliant attitude.
Oh, that's the engineer talking.
Yeah, that's the way it really should be. So
you
can't have a playground where people are afraid to use the toys for fear of breaking something.
Yeah. Well, we always say, I mean, we just started this hackathon called Domino, which is a chain reaction hackathon. So we gather students and they build chain reactions that are put together and then it creates a big chain.
Oh, it's like that music video, isn't it?
Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah.
And the point of that is to fail fast. I mean, you have to test all your ideas and iterate and then make it work. And so that's what we want. I mean, we want people to the first thing they have to do is take a class and just learn basics of 3D printing. Let's say 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're kind of qualified to use it. And then we just let them use it. And then if they break it, we fix it in the beginning. And then they slowly learn how to fix it themselves.
That's awesome. Where do you come up with these ideas with, like, the Rube Goldberg?
Well, that's actually
hackathon.
A student.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Christina Ellingsen.
Yeah.
She was the one that came up with that. And so we try to, you know, get some feedback from the students and then help them
achieve their visions.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Well, love it.
Having makerspaces is a very modern new thing. And there are several makerspaces in the Oslo region, and there are several others in the country as a whole. But how many would you estimate there are in the country right now?
There's an organization called Norway Makers. They have the number, but I'm guessing it's around 50 now. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe more, 60, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's growing a lot. Yeah. 2 years back, it was like 20 or something.
I remember the Norwegian Technical University had a makerspace this summer for kids. But I didn't let myself. That didn't stop me. So I remember staying there until my wife dragged me and my son away. But it's an incredible fun thing because it's what drives many of us to studying, especially those who study something in engineering. That the drive of curiosity, that yes. I'm almost there drive. Mm-hmm. It's so. It's a fantastic experience. Mm. And you know, you grow old and you don't have that drive anymore, but you think, oh, it's because I'm old. Mm. But then no, it's just I just forgot, and yeah. I just didn't have a 3D printer or something.
Yeah.
Or
how many workspaces have a makerspace,
right?
Or the equivalent.
That's true. Yeah, but I guess the big companies, like I don't remember, but I was at a conference and they presented their own makerspace, and it was like mm-hmm. at their workplace, like mm-hmm. where the people were working.
See, that's super
it's amazing,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that could be good for any industry. I mean, if you imagine if the healthcare industry had some kind of makerspace yeah. style forum for mm-hmm. nurses or doctors.
There are
or
one
anywhere.
In U.S., really? Texas.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course it's
Texas. Yeah.
But so the makerspace is available for students.
It's for everyone.
For yes. It, but it's would you say that it's predominantly students who use it?
It is. And what we try to do is, we want researchers to give the students also some work. I mean, so they can, if they don't have an idea of what to do, I mean, a lot of people don't have an idea, and mm-hmm. it's very new to them to try and fail fast. Mm-hmm. We try to connect them with researchers that need extra hands, you know,
right.
so they can build rigs for them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is that's the other thing that's nice with makerspaces, that it brings students and teachers together in a new way.
Yeah.
So we don't we're not only the people standing there in the auditorium preaching to them day in and day out. So we actually are colleagues, team leaders.
Yeah.
And role models, well, we try to be, but at least we are there with them.
Yeah.
And I think we learn a lot from it as teachers as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's cross-disciplinary, so you can have students from other departments. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be IT, and that makes it more exciting, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
For the researcher and for the student.
Yeah, if it were my decision as far as, you know, workspaces and universities and academia, this is optimal in my opinion. Having the faculty and the students working so closely together, working in interdisciplinary groups, and even if it in an informal setting, is just ideal. And we put up all these artificial and real barriers, whether that's an office door or whether that's, I'm a computer science professor, I'm not going to work with a student from design or from, you know, mechanical engineering or something like that. I think this is what the makerspace facilitates that we don't have right now is to a real degree.
And we've managed to connect a lot of weird people, you know, from different places.
So let me give the listener an example of why having a makerspace is a good idea. Imagine you sit in the subway, and I know that a lot of students do, or you sit at the bus, but at the subway you may notice that there is a gap between the window and the plastic wall of the cabin, of the subway cabin that you're in inside. And you also notice that most students, because they're tired, they have a coffee mug in their hands. So what if you could 3D print a cup holder that you could just slide into the gap, it hooks in place, and you could easily rest and look like the boss riding the subway. You have your own cup holder. And then other people will notice, and you can sell them. You can just 3D print them, and there are other shops where you can get stuff 3D printed. You just upload your design, and I learned that idea from an inventor that we heard a talk from, and I thought that's the spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like just having an idea, and then all of a sudden you have the ability to just try and do it. I mean, how many iterations until? Until the cup holder doesn't spill your coffee over your legs, but until then, you know, once you have finished, you feel like royalty.
It's such and you learn so much.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just the reward of finishing something, but yeah. It's the road.
Well,
I mean,
I think we need to be clear. You learn more doing than you do sitting in a classroom listening to a lecture for two hours straight. When 90% of that time is probably spent on social media rather than actually listening to the lecture anyways.
Well, speaking about students, I mean, Evan, you've been a student too sometimes, haven't
you? I have, yeah.
Yeah.
This being the student life podcast.
why don't you tell us a little bit about your background as a student?
What was your earliest memory as a student?
Well, I studied in Trondheim, so it was a very new experience for me. I'm from Oslo. I grew up here. I was born here. All my family members are here. I don't have any family members up there. So the reason I decided to go to Trondheim was because my friends went there, and it's a good school, and, you know, I wanted to study technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose probably the hardest one. It's cybernetics, which is called something else now, robotics something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was difficult just, like, moving and starting with something that's that difficult. It was hard. Like, the first year, I remember I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
But luckily, I mean, the best memories I have is the people and the people I studied with. They were all in the same situation, so it was kind of like we were all together in it. And that made it a little bit better, so it got me through. And yeah, it's just the community there and the people, the students, not necessarily the professors, because I never spoke to them really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same. I think it's the same system here. It's very hard to connect with researchers and educators. And I'm guessing it's because of the way we work and.
Mm.
The campus structure and everything, but NTNU.
So what made you stay after a year?
I didn't know what else was possible, and I said, like, let me just be patient and just go through this semester as well, and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think a year is too early to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And it got better, and you get used to the workload and the way of studying. I think it's also very different from high school.
In what way is studying different than high school?
Nobody cares if you. I mean, it's not like you're in a big class, and it's like 120 students around you, and nobody really cares if you do well or not.
Mm.
It's all about your own ambitions, and nobody's like looking over your shoulder and like saying you should do better, or you can do better, or nobody's pushing you. So I think you have to be very disciplined, and collaboration, I think, is very important.
Oh, it sounds like you didn't enjoy yourself very much.
I did. That was just the first year.
But at some point, maybe you developed some liking for the topic, or did you just stick to it because you didn't have an alternative, or did you find that this is actually fun?
Yeah.
But when did that happen?
I don't know. It was. Gradual, I think. It was always hard. Like, every semester it was hard, but I managed to go through it, and I did a decent job. I mean, I'm an average. I'm not, like, top student. I was also very interested in... I come from a family with a lot of entrepreneurs, or, I mean, not in this... Like, they're restaurant owners, and...
Yeah. But those are entrepreneurs.
Well, they're still entrepreneurs, but it's a different market than I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But and technology is kind of the way in. I think it's very easy to start your own business when you know technology and when you know engineering. I enjoyed it, like, afterwards, like, seeing the possibilities of what you can do with the stuff you learn.
I think there's an important point there, I believe, because I can just say from my own experience, the same thing happened to me. I was also, when I studied computer science, I've never been a very good student, I must say. It's, balancing the hard demands of a nerd is difficult when you also go to university. But it was first later that I discovered that, first of all, I was surprised about how much I know. You know, once you start looking over your shoulder and start looking back, like, oh, I've actually been here a couple of years. Mm. And programming is something that starts to become my second language, in a sense. And some things become easier, and all of a sudden you develop an identity. And but I think it would be, I think we would fool our students if we would promise them that this comes the first year.
No, I
think it's very hard to do. I mean, I've seen a lot of determined students that know what they go to. And so, but I think most students, they just come in the door and then they grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And that first year is pivotal.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that us, that we've gone through this, we know how hard it is, that we also help those students that are, I feel like we have a responsibility to kind of say, well, think about the long run and like try to have an idea of what you want to do. I think that's the most important. Don't go into something that you hate. I mean, I never hated. I love math. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so I think that was the thing that kept me going. Just I love like working with numbers, and so you have to do something you love and try to look at it in the long run, like try to see yourself finishing and like what you want to do, like what position you want to be in. And
what do you think your professors could have done in that first year to really make that experience a little bit less insecure or a little bit less terrifying?
First of all, they were never present. I mean, I think it just walking around, we were sitting a lot and studying at cafeterias and like everywhere we can find empty space. Just walking around and talking to the students and asking, so what do you think about this assignment? Like, you know, can I help you with this, or do you need any tips or whatever? Just because the assignments were hard, and it was like you have four assignments and or one in each class. We have four classes at NTNU, so, and you have to finish one each week, so it's like four each week. So it was hard, but yeah, just being present and make the students feel comfortable. Like, I know I've seen some of my students, the first years are not very comfortable with themselves, like asking questions and going to your office and asking for help. Like, just making them feel more comfortable, I think.
Do you get a lot of these first-year students now coming into your makerspace?
Yeah, and we try to. At Electronics and IT, we have the first years are supposed to do 3D printing, soldering, and programming, Arduino. Yeah,
right.
So that we started with that this year, and it's been a success, yeah.
So now you get to walk around and ask them how they like their assignments.
Yes, but I don't have a class. But yeah, I can still do that, and I think we should. We have some great engineers that are constantly doing this. I mean, yeah, so I trust them with that. I think they're better and they have more experience, but yeah, definitely. I'm always in the makerspace. You know, asking questions about their assignments. So.
Well, I believe this is maybe the new trend in teaching, because there are so many classes out there that you can just take online. And I think in a couple of years, there isn't really a need to go to any auditorium, because you can just see it on video and so on. So what would still attract the students to come to a school, and we know it's already so critical, so that they get a group feeling and make friends and become part of a community. So we still need to get them in the building. And I think these opportunities where they get to work with teachers rather than just sit and look at teachers, I think it's definitely the future, and the school that can pull it off the first will be the one that attracts the right type of student. I remember when I was a bachelor student, I was astonished by wrinkles.
Okay.
The face, because I would, you know, we would have big auditoriums and we would be 400 students and so on, and the teacher would just be some you know, some doll down there. It was so far away. And then once I met that person, and I was astonished about the wrinkles in their face, because maybe I needed glasses, who knows. But from my when I was sitting, I couldn't even see their face properly, right? And that says something. And I, when you're a student and you just start, you think, oh, all right, that's just how it's supposed to be. Mm. You don't question it, right? So you don't question, why am I sitting here with so many other people just staring at this thing in front of me?
And I think it's very important to ask that question. I mean, why is it like that? I mean, why this setting? And it's very, it's a very old school way of teaching.
Yeah, it is very.
So, I don't know how effective it is, but I think you can combine it with a lot of other, like, makerspace stuff, like project-based learning and,
What do you think the biggest challenges are for students, say students coming to HIWA next year in the fall semester? What do you think their greatest challenge will be their first week?
I think I just heard that it's difficult for people to belong in a group or find friends. Mm-hmm. I guess the first week is very, you have to find your place, and if you haven't found your place, it's difficult for the rest of the semester. It's it's hard to break into already formed groups. Mm-hmm. So, but what I learned as a student is, I mean, there were a lot of groups, and I never tried to fit in anywhere. I hung out with the people that I liked and the people that fit my personality, and we did very well together. So, I always studied with those people as well. So, and that also made me stronger as a student. So, find the people you love and like to hang out with, and don't try to fit in, change your personality for anything.
I want to go back to something you said earlier. You said you had like four deliveries every week, more or less.
Yeah.
How did you structure your day?
I didn't.
It was just a panic.
Yeah.
It starts Monday.
But it shouldn't be like that, of course. You just found the time, and it was always the last minute because it was like a lot of assignments all the time. And you also want to do fun stuff as a student. I was involved in Samfunnet. I was involved in different groups, which also made the study life a lot easier. So I think it's a balance. I think it's very important to have discipline and structure. With this discipline, I mean, you have to finish those assignments to be able to take the exam.
Yeah.
So that's the discipline part. I think you just have to finish. And if you have more time to learn what you're supposed to learn, then that's great. But I think you shouldn't, I think it's important to have a balance, have fun, but also study and at least achieve your goals. Like,
But did you have a very conscious knowledge of your goals, or was goals for you, it was just get to the exam?
Yeah, I think so. At that, when you're a student, I think it's, you live like semester per semester. And I think that's, if I should give a tip, I think, for me, I think the most important thing about studying is the people you are studying with and the network you're creating. Mm-hmm. That's the most valuable. The stuff you learn, you usually forget. And if you don't use it, if you don't build something, I mean, making stuff, it makes you remember. Mm. So if you haven't used the stuff you learn, it's not valuable, but the way you learn and the way you get to your goals is the most, that's where you learn. And then your network, the people around you, like that's, I think people should put more attention to that and meet people that they think will be valuable for them in the long run.
If I would be a new student, and maybe I came to, let's say, this college without a social network, because maybe I'm a foreign student, or so I left all my friends at home. Maybe I come from a different city. So I couldn't imagine a better place to get to know people than at the makerspace.
Yeah, we have a very mix of people.
Because it's certainly a self-sorting society, mm-hmm. right? Because it's usually only the interested people that are there, and it's also when you go there, one of the premises is it's pretty open, so you're bound to bump into other people, and you should expect that. So everyone who shows up there knows what it entails.
Yeah, and it's let's say you're a foreign student and you're interested in marketing or design or robotics. I don't know if it's easy to just go to the professors and the educators in those classes to just say, can you connect with someone that can teach me this? I mean, that email is going to be on the bottom and probably not answered.
Yeah.
I think it's a portal to people.
And you only have to go for the first time once. Right, you only have to go one time, introduce yourself, and then you've already been there, and you can already
and you're already more there. Experienced than the next person who just showed up.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not something where the expectancy is that you are supposed to be an expert when you arrive.
No, of course not.
It's the spirit of openness and exploring and learning that I think is so helpful, and people are really interested in helping each other out.
Yeah.
And
Very.
There's a pride in being able to explain something or help achieve something for them.
Yeah, it's very rewarding, and you also learn a lot when you teach someone. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
We usually close off our episodes with a pro tip. So if you could, I know you've been through many helpful advice already, but have you thought about any pro tip that you would stress more than anything else that you've said so far?
Don't take yourself too seriously. If you're a student that just think about the grades, you're not going to win in the long run.
No.
No.
That's
so,
a good advice.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. I think I'll end it with
Could
that.
Could you come and tell all my students that all the time, please? I'm just going to put that on a loop and put it in their iPod.
Anthony, would you have a pro tip for this episode?
I do, and I'm going to completely lame out and just say my pro tip for the students are to go to the makerspace, meet Evan, because she's an awesome human being, and
Thank you.
Either provide a skill or provide an idea for what you want to do. Come there with one of those two things, and I think you'll already be head and shoulders above a lot of the other students.
My pro tip, I'm going to be a little bit more specific, and that is learn 3D printing.
Nice.
Because it is, for as a person who has MacGyvered stuff, and if you don't know what that means, it just means you're young. But I have fixed so many things with paper clips. And duct tape.
Oh, yeah.
I have a glue gun, I know, but I can't find it. It's probably hidden behind something that's duct tape. But learning 3D printing is such a portal to a new way of thinking, a new relationship with the stuff that surrounds you. If you would go to a job interview, I mean, if I would be like a student, a freshly graduated student, I go to a job interview, I would take out my 3D printed pen holder.
Oh, yes.
Of course I would. I mean, it says something about you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it says something about your willingness. I'm just going to fix it myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually an idea, but you can download a lot of these designs. Yeah, and you don't have to be like a professional 3D printer or anything. Just learn it.
Yeah.
You know, you'll use it once a year.
Takes an hour.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So just learn it. And regardless of what your field is, everybody uses plastic around them every day. So just think about that and take charge of that particular part of your life. I think it will be eye-opening.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with that said,
yes.
I think it's time for us to close off and go back to work, you to your makerspace.
Awesome.
Me to whatever we were doing. I need to check my calendar.
I get to go up to Holman Colon today.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So if you have any questions about HIWA's makerspace or makerspaces in general, or about student life at HIWA, or just student life in general, or you just want to tell Kira and I how great we're doing, please send us an email at studentlifepodcast@hioa.no. Again, that's studentlife@hioa.no.
Have a great student life.